This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's a little chilly today. It just snuck up. I apparently wasn't watching the temperatures correctly or something, but I had a meeting and they were talking about how cold it was outside, and I was like, what? And then I checked, the temperature was like 20 degrees outside, and it's going to be like in the teens tomorrow when I go grocery shopping. Now, I know that for some people that's not cold at all, but for us here in the Ozarks, that's a little cool. But all is well. All is well, all is well, all is well. So anyways, there's my beloved, just waving at her. We had a quick bite to eat in town because her birthday's coming up. She had her birthday. Her birthday is already. And she had a gift certificate to Houlihan's, one of the restaurants we have here in town. And so she didn't want to go on Saturday. It needed to be used before Saturday. She didn't want to go on Saturday because it was going to be crowded because of Valentine's Day. And so it's Thursday night. We just ran over and got a bite to eat. So I'm driving home from that as opposed to driving home from my major client. All is well. At the major client, we're just trying to make some progress. We had one of those weeks where there was just kind of stuff coming up all week that needed to be dealt with, yada yada. So didn't make quite as much progress as I was hoping on all the fronts. But you know what? It's fine. And we were able to get some other things kind of tacked down that needed to be tacked down. And it will be there next week. So all is well there. We did go down for funeral. May have mentioned that last week, that we were making a quick trip down to Oklahoma for a funeral. It was a lovely funeral. I mean, if funerals can be lovely, it was a lovely funeral. Time of remembrance, really a lovely, lovely time, and an honorable woman who lived well. She was just the type of person who could, you know, when she was talking with you, you knew that someone was focused on you and talking to you. You know, she just was one of those type of people. And the most interesting description I heard of her during the whole funeral was that it was something like she was someone who was given to hospitality with the mind of a mechanical engineer. So, I mean, she could, you know, when she could, you know, put on events and coordinate events, and she knew exactly what she needed in terms of how much food to buy and how to prepare it and how to get it done, and she just could just march through all the stuff that needed to be done and, you know, bring it in on time. And had been a co-owner in a business or owner in a business or something, soap making in her earlier life, and ended up buying a beautiful piece of property out on Stone Bluff near Tulsa, Oklahoma there. Really beautiful piece of property. So, it was nice to hear the remembrances of the family. My wife, it was actually connected through my wife's side of the family. And the connection was actually as a second wife to an uncle inside our family. But, you know, one of the interesting stories about her is she had the same name as my uncle-in-law's first wife, and they talked, and she said, you know, this is going to be confusing for the kids and the grandkids. Why don't you just call me Jody instead of my first name? And so she just changed her name so that it would be easier on the family. And that's the type of person she was. She was just very giving, really lovely. And so we had the funeral, and then there was a meal, and then, as is the case with the Jernigans, we all piled into a room. In this case, it was a prayer chapel in the church, and Lynette, my wife, got on the piano. So we sang for probably, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes. Just sang a bunch of the old hymns, and then sang some of the newer songs, and some of the in-between songs, and it really was just lovely. It just was lovely. So, finally got away from there about 6 o'clock, hopped back in the car, made it back in here about 10. It was about 6:15, 6:30 by the time we got out of there, made it back in here at 10 on Friday night. So all is well. All is well. It was very, very good. Writing along. I'm on chapter 25. I'm actually down, as of this moment, about 1,000 words. I got a little bit ahead this week, but then there has been a lot of flu going around. I mean, goodness. There has been a lot of flu going around. A lot of flu and colds and all that kind of stuff. I am trying to stay ahead of it. Trying to be real careful. Wash my hands a lot. Not touch my face. I'm a little clogged up at the moment, but I'm pretty sure that's just because I had something to eat. If I can just get through Friday and Saturday, then I'm going to be clear for a while, and I can afford to get a cold, but not right now. Not right now. And it doesn't feel like anything's coming on, so I think I'm okay. But man, there's a lot of it going around. Last Sunday at church, I ran sound at church because our normal sound guy was down with stuff. Our youth minister was out with stuff with their kids. My daughter was out because my grandson was down with it. My son-in-law was had it, but he had managed to get a sermon together, and so he came in and preached. There were a whole bunch of people that were out, just workers and things. It just seems like it's just surged right now. My beloved, Lynette, is fighting it. She's been fighting it for over a week. So just a lot of people. So far, I've been ahead of it. And of course, the reason that I don't want to get it tomorrow or Saturday is it's Cupid weekend. So, oh, this will be interesting because it's kind of like a different take on Cupid. Because when I tell people I'm dressing up as Cupid, they look at me and I go, not that Cupid. Because I'm certainly not going to wear some kind of droopy diaper. Although there is a donut place here in town called Hertz Donuts. And they just do all kinds of crazy, crazy donuts. But one of the things they do is they have a delivery service by Cupid. And they hire rather rotund gentlemen to wear only whitey-tighty underwear and shoes and deliver donuts. Not that Cupid either. So it's more of a Victorian kind of steampunky Cupid type thing. I did get it all on last night and showed it to the young lady who lives with us, and she was, you know, thought it was really, really cool, and showed it to my wife, got her passive approval on it. And so it'll be interesting. It's gonna be fine. I don't know that this one is laugh out loud funny like Polka Dot Day was, but I've got plenty of story to tell with it, so it'll be fine. I think it'll be fine. Still have one little piece to do on it, but I'm running home at this point and gonna do a little bit of yoga, gonna try to do some writing, get back on track. Oh, I didn't finish. So the reason I'm 1,000 words down right at this moment is I was actually 250 words ahead as of yesterday. But our music minister, the flu had gotten to him in his house, and so they were staying in. And so I ran in on Wednesday to run video for the service. And so that, you know, chewed up the hours I would normally do doing finances. So then I got my finances done when I got home. By that time, it was time to go to bed. So I didn't get any writing done yesterday. And yesterday's normally a, 750-word day. But I was already 250 words ahead, so then it's a 500-word day, and tonight's a 500-word day, so technically, right at the moment, I'm 1,000 words down. But I should be able to have that, should be able to get half of that done tonight before I break off and try to get this one last little thing done. So it'll be fine. It's in an easy section now, because, you know, now I'm running out. I'm running out towards the end of the book, so... And I think I know what I'm doing for the epilogue. Yay! And it wasn't what I originally thought I was doing, but I think it'll work. I think it'll be okay. So all the pieces kind of set up correctly, and I got the things done that I wanted to get done. And so, yeah. So I think we're all right. So we get this one done, and then halfway, unbelievably halfway. Book 12. So anyways, just a quick. Today I came across an article, and I'm always interested in seeing how other people are suggesting benefits to life and what they're suggesting in terms of improving the experience of life. And I'm interested to see where that fits in my larger framework of things, and et cetera, et cetera. So I came across this article that has kind of a clickbait title, but, you know, that's okay. The title of the article was "Starting Your Day on the Internet is Damaging Your Brain." Okay, so this particular person is a big proponent of saying that the first 3 hours of your day can dictate how your life turns out. And that's, you know, there's something to be said for that. He says in this article, "As this often begins with the very first thing you decide to do to put in your brain, you can either start your day with junk food for the brain, the internet, distracting apps, etc., or you can start the day with healthy food for your brain. Reading, meditation, journaling, exercising, etc. When you start the day with junk food for the brain, you put yourself at a self-imposed handicap that inhibits your ability to get into flow and prevents you from doing deep work. When you start the day with health food for your brain, the exact opposite happens." So, you know, I don't believe that. And then he, you know, gives a pretty obvious example. He says, so if you woke up in the morning, smoked a cigarette, ate 2 donuts, washed it down with 2 cups of coffee, it wouldn't be surprising that your physical performance would be subpar. You're probably not going to go out and run 2 miles or win a prize fight after consuming that type of breakfast. So then he goes on to say, information we consume like the food we eat. And then quotes Jim Quick, who says, quote, "When you wake up, you're in this theta alpha state and you're highly suggestible. Every like, comment, share, you get this dopamine fix and it's literally rewiring your brain. What your smart device is doing, especially if that's the first thing you grab when you wake up and you're in this alpha theta state, is rewiring your brain to be distracted." You know, very possibly so. Very, very possibly so. And so, you know, the writer of the article actually has some suggestions, and I think they are all good suggestions. Just a second, getting my mail. Oops, wrong window. One moment. Okay. Mail. I thought I was supposed to be getting a package today. More shampoo. All right. So, So here's his suggestions, and I think these are good suggestions. Don't use your devices in the morning. That may be a difficult suggestion, but that's probably a really good suggestion. So don't use your devices in the morning. Smartphones distract us whether they are on, off, in our pockets, or on the table, and they command our attention even when they are not our own. The best solution for preventing smartphone distraction is to remove it from the picture altogether. That's a quote. That's a quote from Steve Magnus. Second suggestion, set aside 20 minutes to meditate, so, or to pray in the morning. That little crunch was actually something I hit as I was pulling into my garage. So anyways, reality as we know it occurs in the space between stimulus and response. An event happens and we make it mean something, but this happens so fast that we don't question the validity of the meaning we've assigned to an event, situation, or circumstance. The way to take control of the meeting is to slow the process down, and the way to slow that process down is with meditation. And that's absolutely correct. You know, always try to be aware of the conclusions you're coming to, why you're coming to those conclusions. Always try to be aware. In my mind, it's always important to be aware of the emotions that you're experiencing and why you're experiencing those emotions. Another suggestion is read books, not the internet. So the author of the article says, when we read on the internet, we tend to scan more than we read. How often do you sit around at a dinner party discussing the amazing articles you read on the internet? Almost all of my ideas for what I want to write about come from books. Almost none of them have come from reading articles on the internet. I have even found in my cases that when I read a physical book that I previously read on Kindle, I tend to get far more value out of it. Now, honestly, for a writer, that's like booyah. And it is interesting that Kindle and electronic readers were predicted to be the end of print books because of the convenience, because of how many you could carry around with you, because of the fact that they're cheaper, because. And yet, the latest statistics I saw is that electronic books have grown to a certain level of the market, but then they've just sort of stalled out there. There is a different experience in reading a book. And the last suggestion is do 1 hour of deep work. 1 hour of deep work is a form of self-care. It's incredibly fulfilling. It's an affirmation to yourself and to the universe that you value yourself and your time. You can accomplish extraordinary things in just one focused hour of the day of uninterrupted creation time. With deep work, you get disproportionate results from your efforts. It's the 80-20 rule at work. 80% of your output will come from 20% of your effort. Just some food for thought. When I started writing this article, I set my distraction blocker for 45 minutes. As I wrote this sentence, I decided to do a check on my word count and realized I'd written over 1,200 words in about 35 minutes. That's what happens when you combine flow and deep work together. So it's interesting because as I've had Valentine's Day coming up and I knew I had things to do, I mean, I was really like, okay, focus in, you have got. And so I've been keeping up with my writing targets, but I've also been working on different pieces of the Valentine's Day outfit. But I've been able to do both because I was really hunkered down, focusing completely on that. So the writer of the article says, one last thing to consider. What are you really getting out of checking Facebook, Instagram, or anything on your phone when you wake up in the morning? Is it making you happier or more successful in any way? If you added up all of the time you possibly waste over the course of the year on this behavior, It's likely you could write a book, build a business, or learn an instrument, all of which are going to do far more for the quality of your life than the temporary dopamine fix your phone provides. Which, that's true. That's good. That's very, very good. And it's true. And it is one of the things that I really love about having a big, huge project like writing 24 books, because that requires that I do have time when I'm focused every day. I do have time. And the costumes do that as well, because it requires that I do have time when I'm focused, when I'm building things, when I'm, you know, trying to figure out how I'm going to solve certain design problems. So it's good. I highly recommend having something creative, having something that is a part of your epic and your quest and your adventure. Because I firmly believe that every person has that epic and quest and adventure, and have more than one of them. And the idea with those is always that it's your epic and your quest and your adventure is something that only you can do, that no one can stop you from doing. And if you do not do it, there will be a gap in the world. Because it is what you will uniquely create. And having that creativity, having that stress of having a thing that needs to come into existence and not having it in existence and having a bunch of steps that you have to work out between non-existence and existence, that's cool. It's just cool, and it's work to do. And it's what he in this article refers to as deep work. So yeah, so some good suggestions. Some good suggestions in here. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.